back in session. And I guess Mr. Mullen, is he still out in the hall working? Oh. Hopefully they have a solution to the problem. Anybody got any good stories to tell? Or?
I got a good one. You serious? You want to hear a story?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well, too late. You just showed up.
Oh, man. This is my best one. All right. Let's save it for another time.
Welcome back.
Mr. Mullen.
Yes, sir. There's another staff member who's bringing over a couple of sheets of paper. We had a chance to, over lunch, talk to your council, to also talk to some of the staff members and to review some things. What I wanted to do was to address what Mr. Palmer had said. It's not my intention to come in and presume to tell the board or the commission what to do. But I did sense that there was some important opportunity to find common ground and to avoid being right back in a position like the commission and the applicants found themselves in from 81 through 89. I do not want that to happen. I don't think that serves the Commonwealth. And so one of the things that I had while I was listening was to make some notes as to what I heard, and it seemed that the board wanted to have an opportunity for some monitoring to take place. We had proposed a post-construction monitoring plan and assessment that did address the river herring and the eel utilization of Curl's Neck Marsh and contribution to the James. Number two, water management during the assessment. Provided that the commission did decide to reissue the existing permit for the barn structure under the name of the current owner, something I think is a smart thing to do, although certainly it's a commission decision, to be in compliance with the consent order that was dated on or about May the 30th of 89 and the related permit. And that would be, to address your point, Mr. Commissioner, releases from March 1st through July the 7th. Those releases are based on the best data that is currently available. Third, the applicant would agree to provide the date of completion of the permitted structure to the VMRC staff. They're going to need to know when that sheet pile structure is completed so that we will know when the monitoring begins. And this is what may I hand it to your council,
sure.
Mr. Commissioner? That's what he was gracious enough to help me edit while we were after the lunch period.
Let's be clear. I didn't edit anything. I just reviewed.
Took a word out. to select a date for return to the commission, and I had included a date not later than 4 years, and the reason is there's going to be the construction period, which is probably 5 to 6 months from notice to proceed. The construction period ends, at which point the water management plan, in accordance with the former consent decree, keep everything status quo, providing more access, then the monitoring period begins. The monitoring period that we had brought in draft form was a 3-year period. Then we have to allow for assimilation of that data and then to plan a return back to the full commission. To cooperate with staff to select a date for return to the commission, and that's why the 4-year date is in there, to allow for that time for us to work out, and using the language borrowed from the commission, for a balanced approach to a water management plan that takes into consideration the existence of the structures designed to preserve and continue the primary purpose of that existing levee system. in regulating the water levels within Curl's Neck Swamp. It should, I think, in point four, you'll see the balanced approach should take into consideration the need for a long-term mechanism to preserve and protect the beneficial waterfowl habitat. If changes to the water management plan are recommended by the post-construction monitoring plan. And then five, if changes are recommended, then VMRC staff and the owner will cooperate to incorporate those into a new water management plan for presentation and consideration by the commission. And those, not by way of telling the commission what to do by any stretch, but instead saying, I think we've found our points of similarity and perhaps this will guide some future action. That's all I have, Mr. Commissioner. Thank you very much for your time, for your attention. It's an important project, and I really appreciate the questions and the chance to be here today.
Thank you. Mr. Watkinson, do you have the language?
Yes, I do.
All right. You have any comments?
Well, yeah, let me make a couple. And I have read through it real briefly here. Council for the applicants did share with me some ideas prior to lunch, and I provided him some comments then, and some of that may have been reflected here. But from a staff standpoint, you know, I think our evaluation drove home the issue from our idea that, we preferred to have the data and analysis done first before anything was permitted, or if something was permitted, that nothing be constructed until we, knew what the conditions were and how the water management strategy might affect fishery utilization. And I think that reflects, to some extent, what VIMS had suggested, that while they had asked for 3 years, they did not necessarily say it had to be built first and then you study, but they could just wait 3 years before you build it once you got the data in place to sort of refine your water management strategy. But with that said, I think the important thing that what this proposal before you now is attempting to do is seek some mechanism by which, I guess, the applicant, they could get their permit, they could build their wall, they could continue to conduct their assessments, and after 4 years, or I guess it's four now in the document, the commission would have an opportunity to revisit the water management scheme based on their input and staff's analysis and come back and adjust that. The idea being that if staff and the applicant, the permittee, could work that out, we could come back to you with either a plan that was amended that everyone agreed on, or if the data showed we didn't need to change the plan, we could let you know that. And alternatively, if staff and the applicant couldn't agree on what that plan should be based on the fishery assessment data, that the commission would have the opportunity to make a decision down the road on any changes that might be necessary. So with that in mind, looking at these five draft conditions, the only thing I would ask you to think about, and this is a real quick assessment here, is that in items 3 and 4 and maybe even 5, the focus there is on the desired current management that Curl's Neck is looking at, that we might need to consider adding just a couple words at the end of either all of those conditions or maybe just 3, that we're also looking at the protection and preservation of spawning, river herring, and eel utilization, so that we're not just looking at the water management strategy for the benefit of Curl's Neck, but we're looking at the water management strategy for herring and eel stocks that might depend on that creek. So I think that's about all I could offer at this point, but if you've got any questions or if there's any other discussion and you have more questions for me, please feel free to call on us at the staff level. I did mention VIMS in my comment just now and what I sort of thought they were saying in terms of their recommendation. You may want to hear from them directly to see if I characterize that appropriately or whether they have some other thing to say about that issue.
Any questions for Tony at this point?
Yes, Mr. Fox.
I guess if we go forward with this or something similar to this, We are agreeing to allow the dam to be put in the steel bulkhead. And we are, if we go to item five, we would change the water management plan if the study resulted in that. But we would not have the opportunity to say this whole thing is a disaster, rip the steel bulkhead out. And so maybe that's not necessary. But
well, I think that's up to you. I mean, obviously, that is an extreme, option, but it may be worth
I'm well aware that this is being funded by the owners and not by the Commonwealth, and I'm appreciative of that. Then the other question I would have is, who would do the study?
I think that would be up to them to fund and contract for that. I would like to say that they probably ought to design a study that, you know, maybe wouldn't hurt to have us look at it with our scientific technical advisors and our fisheries folks to see if we think it meets the intent of what they're trying to get at here. I think they indicated that they had spoken and were working with Dr. Greg Garman to do that. I mean, he's a well-respected, well-known fishery scientist here in the state of Virginia at VCU, so I feel like he could do the work because he's done other work that's been related to previous permits we've been involved in. So I feel comfortable that they could design a study that, you know, would meet the intent of identifying what the fishery resource was and what the likely effect might be.
All right. Earlier you had asked for Vim's comment as well. So, Dr. Luckenbach, you care to – did you see a copy of this?
No, I did not.
All right.
I don't know that I took notes while Tony was talking. First, I said, I'll comment on this and notions going forward. We do have the technical experts here from Vim to answer specific questions about aspects of this. It's a complicated issue, and I've seen Mr. Fox do another thing. He brought it down to something relatively simple. He said it was ducks versus fish. I don't know that it's quite ducks versus fish, but you have clarified at least or pointed to the biggest issue that we've had, the sort of uncertainty in the role that this project would play to the Alosis. And I think the main thing I want to do is correct a little bit of, at least the way this has been portrayed, as though that our first recommendation on that is to put the dam structure in and leave the gates open for 3 years. I would have to agree that's an awful lot of money to spend to not use it. On the other hand, how are we going to be able to tell you what the impacts of the project are on the Alosids there if we don't know what their use of it is now? So first I would contend we don't need the gates to be there and open to determine that. It's open now. There are breaches. So this preliminary data, what's there before and then after the impact and after the change, are the types of data that would serve us far and away the best in order to answer the questions that I assume you would have about what's the impacts of putting these gates up, or better still, what's the best water management plan that could be developed to have the least impact on the Alosis? And so that's you know, it's been held up, I think, a bit of a dichotomy that you either put the gates in and leave them open, which is a non-starter, or manage it just as starting from the March to June time frame, July time frame. We can certainly get, we or whomever does a study, can get that preliminary data while the breaches are open. So I think that's the biggest part.
So you're suggesting some pre-construction.
Well, we had suggested that.
Or sort of
we
baseline.
That, and we suggest only if that's not possible, or if that's not feasible because it gets permitted and it's going, then to leave gates open and study. Pre-construction is probably the wiser of the preliminary data to gather. As I see this, I listened to it as Tony read it. It's not clear to me how could develop a alternative water management plans or even have water management plans based upon just having it in place and the and that one time window open. You need the ability to evaluate what's coming and going when they're not restricted versus when, you know, when they would be restricted. So I think that, and that's consistent with what we originally suggested, was that the preference is pre-project monitoring. Now, the timeline that you approve may or may not allow for that. The only other thing I guess I'd like to add about them, there's looking at their points, really 3 through 5, they involve some monitoring and involve some management decisions actually. The final point that we made in our letter is the real importance of having a true adaptive management plan for this, which means tying the monitoring. The monitoring plan, it can't just be just go out and monitor what's there. It has to be tied to making the specific decisions that you would have to make or making, or however you set it up, in conjunction with the applicant to change course. So we would want, if, and I'm sure we would be asked to review a monitoring plan, we would want to see a monitoring plan that led specifically to adaptive management, that lets you make key, you know, crucial decisions based upon seeing this data or that data. And I certainly would be happy to help with that type of thing.
Thank you. Any questions? Dr. Luckenbaum. Mr. Fox.
to do the pre-construction monitoring, how long would that take?
The scientist answer is we can't study it long enough, but we had recommend. I mean, our recommendation was really 3 years before that.
If you delayed the start time of the project by a year, would that give you the majority of the data you would need? Or
I think that turns our experts. I know how I would answer it, but with an expert sitting behind me.
Troy, did I swear you in earlier?
I was here for that, yes.
Thank you.
Happy to do it again if it makes you happy.
No.
Dr. Troy Tuckey with the Fisheries Science Department at VIMS. To answer your question, 1 year study probably isn't sufficient. These stocks at
is not
probably not sufficient. The reason being that stocks are at historically low levels of abundance. There's a lot of variability in fish recruitment. That means juvenile fish production. Your 1 year study may hit a very poor year class or year of recruitment, and you just captured an anomaly, or maybe a banner year, and you captured that into the anomaly. You want to have a several year study so you can look at some of that variability and get a good handle and understanding of the resource use and habitat use by those resources.
Follow-up question,
sir, Mr. Tanker.
We've heard a lot today about how this is duck habitat and the value as a upland duck or waterfowl species habitat. Can you speak to the habitat for the fish that you talk about? Is this an area that is particularly suited for that? I mean, what are we looking at here on
there's
a scale?
There's spawning nursery habitat upstream and downriver from this area. This would certainly be utilized. It was documented utilization in the pre-study in 1982 by VIMS. So it would certainly be utilized. What's happening today, I have no idea. We haven't been in there. And that's for Eleusians. And American eel use all sorts of habitats. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't using that.
Yes, sir. Mr. Sessions.
A quick question about the stock. Before the breach and while the berm was in place, there would have been any eels or herring. Is that correct?
Because they're making the water management strategy. I'm not exactly sure how eels can get in if the things are open.
So it would have been through the pipes.
Through the pipes, certainly.
If there was something, okay.
And the other issue with the pipes in terms of Eleusines and anadromous fishes is if there is production of fishes within this habitat and they are closed off in the July 7th, which is certainly feasible, they hatch, blueback herring hatch in June, is sort of the later end, and they stay as larvae for 25 to 30 days or thereabouts. When those tide flaps are closed, they are trapped. If, I use capital IF, if they survive that, when the gates are open, there's a mouth of predators waiting right outside to gobble them all up, as they had pointed out earlier. So that's an issue for production. It's not just are they behind this berm, is do they make it into the spawning stock on the coastal shelf, or are they just feeding fish at the mouth of those pipes? That would be something we would have to investigate.
Okay, thank you. Well, at this point, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think I still have some, just a couple of questions. If I could ask the applicant's counsel about the dates. I'm looking at what you presented, and you refer back to the March 1 to July 7 dates relative to water management. And we have just heard some questions, I think, about at least what sort of allocene production might be occurring in there and what life stage those recruits might be at that point in time, for example, if you draw down on July 7th. So just a couple of quick questions. With the current breaches in the system, are you able to draw it down to the extent that you were before the breaches occurred now?
You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Tommy Pruitt, one of the co-owners. We have not drawn down. I've been involved in Curl's Neck since 2006, and we have not drawn down since I've been involved with it.
Okay, so it's currently an open system, and it hadn't been drawn down since 2006.
That's correct.
So just following up on that, what would be, if we entered into the monitoring that VIMS has recommended for several years prior to construction commencing, what is the consequence of that?
It just puts it off 3 or 4 years. I mean, we've been working on this program now for 4 years and tried to get it to a point where we thought it was in great shape to bring to the commission. To say now to put it off another 3 years, that'd be a big decision for us. I mean, just because we've tried to be very diligent in this request. Every concern that has been brought before us, we've tried to address, either with the earthen berm, we reduce that to sheet pile, to the flap gates. We've tried to address every concern here. So that'd be a tough decision for us to say, wait 3 years, let's do a study, and then come back and talk to us.
Okay, and on the dates, the dates that were established back in the 1980s, March 1 through July 7. If you were to draw it down, would you be planning habitat for the upcoming season? Would that be the intent of the drawdown?
If we decide to draw down at some point, the prior owner would draw down and plant bird habitat, waterfowl habitat, and then he would reflood it in the fall. So that's the reason he closed the gates, was to be able to draw it down. And then when it got to a certain point, then at that point he would plant it.
Okay, I'm just I'm curious because I'm trying to figure out how if we move into this and we reevaluate the water management program during the assessment period. In other words, if we go ahead and say we're going to permit construction, just hypothetically, but then have a permit condition that that essentially engages our staff to develop a wastewater management plan for that interim period while you're doing your ongoing assessment work for several years post-construction, I think that date might be something that we'd need to evaluate because there are these open questions about the fisheries resources in there that really weren't a big consideration back when the project was first constructed and weren't a big consideration when the original berm was considered by this commission. So, we're in a different setting now, at least as far as some of the fisheries concerns surrounding the project, and that's why I was curious about the date.
As far as the dates for starting construction?
The dates for water management, in other words, March 1 through July 7th for your water management.
I mean, it's got to be based on something. So is there a study to say that the gates are not open long enough? I mean, I'd like for it to be based on some study that says that you should be adjusting your gates based on something. I mean, what would it be based on? That's the reason we want to start the baseline study with Dr. Garman and the Rice Center, is to establish a baseline. There's never been a baseline that's been established at Curl's Neck. We're happy to do that. And then I thought the wording would be that once we had the baseline study, then we'd come back and work with staff and try to work it out and then present it to the commission where y'all could have a shot at it 3 years from now, 4 years from now. The timing to us really doesn't make that much difference whether it's 3 or 4 years from now. But to give y'all a shot at, you know, do there need to be adjustments in the time?
And if I can respond, and that is your wording that's been offered. I think, I'm trying to consider some of the input we've had, obviously, from our staff about concerns about the dates, and also DGIF in their letter suggested that those dates and the water management plan be established in consultation with anadromous fish experts, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's that additional layer of concern, at least from a fishery standpoint, is that the wastewater management plan, regardless of whether it's starting out this year or 3 years from now, it needs to reflect those concerns, I think. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Beck.
Mr. Chairman, I think I would propose that we go along with this proposal that's been given to us, with the exception I'd like to make a change in item 5. My suggestion would be to remove VMRC staff and remove those words, and then put an S on agree, and then remove 2 and say and I would go along with that.
How would it read after you've done those things?
Well, the reason I want to do
how would you read it after you've done those things?
Oh. If changes to the water management plan are recommended, then owner agrees to cooperate and incorporate those into a new water management plan for preservation, for presentation and consideration by the commission. If we don't do that, we lose our authority. Am I wrong or what?
Council agrees with you.
I'm not council.
I don't count. We would agree to that. Either to the staff or commission would be fine with us.
Right. Is everyone clear on that suggested change to number 5? Here's Mr. Plumlee.
If I can, at the beginning of this discussion, I was of the mind that if we could reach a reasonable post-construction plan, and I want to start by saying I don't see any wrongdoers here with the applicants or any problems. You know, we hear a lot of issues brought up when people try to protest projects, but we try to keep an even keel and understanding people want to do the best with their property to maximize its value, as well as to protect the environment. We know that's your purpose. I mean, I don't think anybody up here believes there's any nefarious purpose, okay? What I'm really concerned with is when you have the number of agencies are asking us for a deferral for additional information, that if we proceed with construction and then get that information, as Mr. Fox put previously, it may be too late to make the changes or modifications that we would otherwise want to see. And that feeling has grown over the course of this hearing. Initially, I didn't have that sense, but now it's a much heightened sense. And I don't think there's necessarily unwillingness on the part of the applicant to do that work and to see that those studies done. It's a matter of timing and wanting to get on with the project and protect the property, and I understand that. But when you have VIMS, the VMRC staff, NOAA, USFWS, you've got issues with sturgeon, herring, migratory birds, plant species being brought up, and a lot of people saying, hold on, the answers aren't in yet. I become troubled about moving forward until we have that information in hand and can deal with it as one body together, as opposed to a different body hearing it. And now that the entire consideration has been broken up between 3 different bodies, 3 different forms of the VMRC, the one going back to 89, us, and whatever body is here in the future, to kind of and trying to put the whole solution together. I think this is an opportunity to kind of take care of old business, deal with the permit that needs to be signed, just get it signed, so there's no interpretation from lawyers needed. It's just, it's in the records. and probably request that some of this work get done, my preference would be before construction. It could be a condition for construction in that the permit issued, but with it being met in advance of construction as opposed to post-construction. I would be concerned that if the recommendations come back with information, and we've seen this time and time again with fishery, that we're surprised by the information that comes in. We have to react with emergency measures, and we have to respond many times when our tools are diminished for responding, and I don't want to see that happen in this instance. So I think that's where I sit currently.
Mr. Fox.
To that point, I think it would be unreasonable to ask the owners to wait 3 years just to pull a number before they did anything. But I agree with you that maybe some time would probably be helpful. 3 years is too long. But we've heard from the man from VIMS that 1 year perhaps would be too short. I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm not a marine scientist at all, but it just seems to me that 3 years is too long, and 1 year, I'm told, is too short.
Mr. Sessoms.
I kind of look at it a little differently. I agree with Mr. Beck, and I see an impoundment that's been in operation for years and years and is breached and needs to be repaired. I'm of the thinking to go along with what Mr. Beck is saying, and what kind of study period can be done while and after construction and monitored, I think would be appropriate. But to not allow these folks to repair the breach in their impoundment that's been in operation since 1968, I don't see that.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with a lot of the concerns we've heard. I think some of the speakers earlier suggested that anytime we interfere with a natural process such as the habitat that's here, we do so at our peril. And I think that's a fundamental tenet of estuarine habitat management and coastal management. And yet, this has been there since 1968, and the owners that bought it as a waterfowl impoundment. And I think we have to simultaneously recognize that, but consider the other interactions that are relevant at the site with respect to the fisheries concerns. And so, I think in order to move forward now with allowing construction, I think I'd want to know a couple of things. One, that the monitoring plan that's going to be put together to monitor the fisheries is going to be done for a sufficient period of time, but that it's also going to be subject to commission staff approval, and also that the water management plan that's in effect during that assessment period is also something that's approved by commission staff, because I think frankly it might be appropriate to have a longer period when the water's not drawn down to ensure that whatever allocenes are in there are given some chance to escape. But I think at the end of this, we need a period where we come back, whether it's 3 or 4 years down the road, and the water management plan is brought back before the commission for review and approval, and any other monitoring is also brought back to the commission for review and approval, because it doesn't make sense. As was suggested, you can't have any sort of adaptive management in the absence of some baseline data collection. So, I think you'd want to at least give the commission 3 or 4 years from now the opportunity to review the monitoring plan and ensure that you're going to have some adequate data collection going forward in case changes do need to be made to the plan. So, Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion that we approve the project, but that the permit conditions include a 3-year post-construction monitoring plan and assessment addressing river herring and eel utilization of Curl's Neck Marsh and contribution to the James River, subject to VMRC staff approval.
You're amending these 1 through 5 points now.
Yeah, I'm amending and maybe drawing from both, but that a water management plan subject to VMRC staff approval will be a permit condition. I would then add as another condition that the commission reconsider or have an opportunity to review the water management plan after the 3-year assessment period. And that the commission have an automatic review after the assessment period of the fishery monitoring program.
End of motion.
That's the end of the motion, and that doesn't get at the issue of whether or not, I mean, we still have to deal with the berm, I think, and whether or not to, right, to consider that permit.
I mean, that
would be prudent.
Yeah, so. That doesn't address the disposition of the previous permit. That's just for this new application.
All right.
And if we dispense with this motion, we can discuss the other.
Is there a second to that motion?
Can I just ask a quick question? So that's the permit. We're voting to go ahead and allow the permit based on the riders that you just put on. Okay.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Don't ask me to repeat it. We might. Can I ask you to repeat it? We have a second. We have a valid motion. Can you repeat it just to make, I want to make sure everybody's clear.
Yeah, so the motion would be to approve the permit with the following conditions, and that would be that the applicant agrees to a 3-year post-construction monitoring plan and assessment, assessing river herring and eel utilization of Curl's Neck Marsh and contribution to the James River, subject to VMRC staff approval. That a water management plan would be developed subject to staff approval during the throughout the assessment period. That after the 3-year assessment period, the commission would have an opportunity for an automatic review of the water management plan. That after the 3-year assessment period, the commission would also have an automatic review of the fishery monitoring plan that's in place.
Okay. Everyone clear on the motion?
Let me ask a question.
Ms.
about
Fox.
The motion. Would this mean that no construction could begin for 3 years?
No.
No. The monitoring plan would be a post-construction monitoring plan.
Post-construction.
So it doesn't delay construction of the project.
Comments on the motion? Mr. Tank.
I came into this thinking that we should allow this project to go forward, perhaps thinking more along the lines of maybe how the commission thought in 1989. This represented an opportunity to increase duck habitat, and it was a net positive, but as we've heard testimony today from our scientists with regard to the species of fish that use this area, that like the herring, that are in decline or face an endangered species designation, I think we find ourselves in a different context today. And I certainly sympathize with the applicants. Yes, I like getting things done. But if you look at the context of where we find ourselves, we have fish that, again, are endangered. And this seems to be a nursery area, for lack of a better word, it will enhance that species. And I think having a man-made control device where the fish pour out the end of a tube waiting for some other fish to eat them, it leaves them very susceptible. And I don't think we really, and I say that just as a layman, I'm not a fisheries expert, but I think we've got some real issues here. And I think if we leave the status quo, which is we've got as I understand it from the testimony and documentation, we've got public water behind a
essentially a private impoundment. And I still think we have to protect that public water that's back there that promotes and gives it gives life to species that we think we need in Virginia. So I have a tendency to agree with staff's recommendation. I agree it's putting it off, but at the same time, I think it's to the benefit of the state.
Any other?
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Alternate motion? Substitute motion?
My substitute motion would be a staff recommendation.
I'll second it.
All right. Comments on the substitute motion, which let's make sure we understand what that is. You want to clarify your motion, Mr. Tankard?
Sure. It's really, as you see in the in our summary and recommendation period there, it's we're considering all the different factors of 28.2-1205A and 28.2-1302 of the Code of Virginia. We, as a commission, would table this decision on the permit process indefinitely to allow the applicant time to collect necessary information, and the applicant must waive the right to decision within 30 days pursuant to 28.2-1302-7C.
So that is the substitute motion. It's been made and seconded. Comments on the substitute? Mr. Palmer.
For 45 years, they've had this berm up in the swamp, and everything has worked out just fine. And now they're trying to do the right thing by getting the permit so they can fix it up a little bit. I think we should leave things the way they are, give them their permit.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right, we're going to vote on the substitute motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
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 Motion fails, 5-3. That brings us back to the other motion. You ready to vote on that?
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Same, was it the same vote, 5-3? Motion carries.
Change.
You changed?
I changed.
Okay, 6-2?
Yeah.
6-2.
Okay. You need to climb up that fence.
This is yes. All right. Now there's still the issue of the. Did you want to comment on that? The previous permit.
Mr. Chairman, I might ask council what our options are now that we've issued this permit, in terms of what action we might take relative to the existing berm permit, because we heard from staff earlier that that permit hadn't been executed, but like we've heard subsequent to that, that in fact, because it was in response to a court order, it is affected, or the permit is in effect. So I don't know if you can comment on that.
I can. Actually, I think I'm the one who opined that it's valid already. It certainly wouldn't hurt if they would execute the permit and turn it in, and it might, as someone mentioned earlier, resolve any need for legal interpretation at a later point. And I think, if I remember properly, the applicants are more than willing to do that. I don't know whether options the commission's considering. I'm presuming that the direction the commission wishes to proceed is to how to basically effect the permit, or leave it unpermitted, perhaps? I don't know.
Well, the applicant has agreed in previous testimony to sign to take on the previous permit, correct?
That's correct. I mean, I think that it's my opinion, it's my view that the permit is valid now based on the decree entered by the court. However, it's a belt and suspenders approach, if you will, to have the applicant sign and submit the permit to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I think that'd be fine as long as it's clear that we have imposed new permit conditions relative to the project that we just approved that are relevant for the water management plan for the site. And just so long as the record's clear that those would supersede the ones that were developed in the 1980s.
Just to make, if I may, Mr. Yes. you want the conditions that have just been passed to be ex post facto imposed, backwards imposed onto the new the permit we're reconsidering now? Or you want the old one to stay in place with the old and the new just with the new?
What?
I didn't understand, and I just thought it would be important for the record to be clear.
Well, I think it is important because, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, the original water management conditions that were associated with that permit had a prohibition from March 1 through July 7. And what we've done now is issued a new permit that would have a water management plan to be developed and then approved by commission staff. And I think that should be controlling for the management of the site. So I don't know what other actions we need to take to put that in effect, but it seems to me that we do need to deal with the disposition of the original permit.
If you're looking to modify, I guess you just ask if I want to accept the modifications to the existing structure, and if I'm willing to do that, it's a draft permit up accordingly.
Draft one permit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd make it easier.
It seems to me the easiest way to deal with this, as Paul has recommended, is to just draft a single permit that incorporates the prior conditions as modified by the motion that just passed, and have the new owner sign that permit.
Well, if I have understood where we are, I think I got it. With that in mind, we could draft a new permit that would cover the old dike, the encroachment over 300 linear feet of state submerged lands at the mouth of Curl's Neck Creek, as well as the submerged lands component of the new wall and the wetland component of the new wall. And then in that document include the conditions that you've articulated, and we'll work on the words a little bit. I have to make sure we got them right. And also would attach to that, I'm assuming, the consent decree that was previously authorized by the court, based on the assumption that, as I heard earlier today, that the new owners, when they acquired this property, they acquired what the previous owner had agreed to or had. And so that same consent agreement, it sounded like, from what I heard, still applies to the new owners. And we don't have to go back to court and get the names changed on it or anything, but it's just referenced in the new permit document as the consent decree under which this was considered.
Is there any objection to that approach?
Well, I do have a concern that two things here. In this project, the applicant came to us. There wasn't a fight over jurisdiction. There wasn't the back and forth that took place in the context of the old consent decree. And it seems like two separate projects to me. Now, obviously, the management of the impoundment overall has to be viewed, and I think that's what we're trying to achieve with this discussion, is to, in controlling the inflow over the time of the year, do it in harmony with both sides, the old project and the new. I think that's – but you're looking at a court order that's been signed and put into place that encompasses the time, does it not? The previous permit encompasses the March 1st, the July. And I don't think we have any power to alter that or to modify that court order. So, however, if they were to submit themselves to review of that permit to our board, that's a whole different question, and we have not been asked to do that. We're simply saying there's this old permit in place. It hadn't been executed, but otherwise in effect. So I don't see where we have that right to go back and
actually, Mr. Point, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you look on page 11-4, subparagraph 2, it's not Romanette, but paren 1, I believe it gives the commission the authority to modify the permit.
What's 4 paren 1 is
the top of the page. Is that right?
Actually, I'm looking here.
Is it after the therefore section, which is the order?
Okay.
Proceed to amend, modify, and terminate the vote, otherwise alter the permit.
complete mess.
Yeah, it's without waiver to challenge it and ask to modify, but we've not been in a review period to modify it. I mean, unless we've taken that up right now.
That way, just right. Or otherwise seek judicial review. Oh, I see. You're right. I focused on the wrong. I didn't back up. You're right. This isn't judicial review. So you're correct, sir. I'm sorry.
And my point isn't to try to slow us down in what we're trying to achieve, but if we've got their agreement, let's get a new agreement. Let's put it into place and control it. We might have to do that by going back to the court and having it modified by the court, you know, by a signed consent decree. We can always enter a consent decree to do it. But I would prefer, like Mr. Robbins, to have both sides governed under the same results of the study that we're going to be requesting or requiring, that the entire impoundment be operated the same way. You know, I think that's, from a practical standpoint, the desired result.
Tony, you have something?
I'll try again. In light of that discussion and a comment here by Mr. Mellon, as we looked over the consent decree, he pointed out that the consent decree was tied to the permit, and the permit was tied to the consent decree, and the permit had the time in it. It wasn't the consent decree that had the March 1 to July 7th date. It was the permit, but they were tied together. With that in mind, I guess getting back to the issue at hand here between the commissioners is we could issue the old permit in the name of the new owner with all those conditions and the consent decree. But understanding that as we issue a new permit for this wall and the encroachments over the guts that have formed in the creek, that it will include conditions that also apply to the management of the tide gates and the berm, and that they seem agreeable to that, and that we're covering the changes that might need to be made in the new permit, but the old permit sort of is the same. And I think that's option three of our three-part option to deal with the original permit that was authorized by the commission in 1989.
Does that leave us the requirement of modifying our motion or the what was voted upon?
I don't mean to interrupt, but I would say authorize staff to execute the original permit that was issued, but in the name of the new owners.
All right. Everyone clear?
No.
No.
I just say one thing. To look at it like this, it is a consent order from the court. To change the order, we need to go back to the court. So to issue it in the new name would be fine, but we're going to need to, any other substantial changes are going to have to modify the order. So you really do have to conceptualize it as different. I'll give you one easier option. We could do that, or we could just have Mr. Watkins sign it as well. But to go beyond that would require change.
So you're saying if we change the permit conditions, the operating structure of the original document, or the operating structure of the tide gates that are covered in the original permit, we covered that in the new document. You don't think that can be done without changing the consent agreement?
That's currently my opinion, yes. For the old permit.
I mean, I viewed it a little differently, that if they agreed to sign the new permit with conditions that applied to this berm and the operation of those tide gates, then they agreed to that.
Right.
You know, after the consent. But I'll leave that to the attorneys to sort that out. They know those procedures much better than I.
Does anybody up here have this figured out?
I'm wondering whether some time to figure out exactly how a motion should be stated would be helpful.
Could it be handled by making it a condition of this permit that the previous permit be modified either through joint action before court or otherwise needed, as needed, so that it can comply, so that the entire structure can be placed under the same plan?
I would vote in favor of that.
You're not going to get me to vote for the motion that way, though. I'm not going to make the motion.
Good one, Fred.
Yes, sir. Mr. Goodwin.
It looks like to me the way this is going is you're going to have a good shot at us 3 or 4 years from now. And I would think that that's when you would reevaluate the current permit. That's how you would get what you're trying to get out of it. But I would think you need the present permit in place, whatever we've got to do with it, just the white sign and the blue sign, just leave that where it is, go with the new permit, and when we come back 3 or 4 years from now with lots of studies, recommendations, staff, then you then will have probably a chance to alter both permits. That's just a suggestion.
That's a very good suggestion, a very straightforward approach to it, but I think it's complicated by Mr. Robbins' condition that the water management plan that's in place now needs to be reviewed and altered potentially by staff and working with the applicant to come up with a better system. If the water management plan stays in place as the original permit contemplated, open the gates March 1 through July 7th, that seems to work. But if we're going to be altering the current water management plan now as a permit condition for the new structure, I'm not so sure that works.
I'm just wondering if you can just simply make a condition to this current motion that requires the both sides take whatever action necessary so that the prior permit can be modified in the future based upon the results of the study that, if needed, that's part of this, you know, been part of the motion and the permit that we've issued.
Mr. Robbins.
I think to do that, though, we're basically saying that, you know, we'd be making a motion to enter into creating a new consent agreement, right? You know, which would be another, yet another step. So I think that's what we have to decide because, you know, unless staff thinks that the operation of that one floodgate is going to sufficiently manage the entire property, I don't know we have that much information in front of them, right? I would just ask counsel, is that something that we can do at this point as a follow-up step to move to enter into an action that would amend the original permit conditions?
Given the nature of a consent decree, of course, the applicant would have to agree to the terms we're talking about, but it's certainly a measure that we could undergo fairly easily. I mean, a petition would have to be filed, and the terms of the consent decree entered. So that is certainly an option that could be pursued. I think, and if I'm speaking out of turn, Commissioner, feel free to stop me. Just trying to find the shortest way out of the woods here, with respect to everything that's facing us, is maybe have two different permits to break this down. Keep your original for the project because it's all tied in, and then just have the applicant submit the new petition, excuse me, the old permit signed under the new name, with the understanding that perhaps either now or should the studies require modification of how the water levels are run, whatever the water and fisheries management aspects need to be, then modify it through the consent decree at a later time after the studies are concluded. That's another way to handle it. I'm not suggesting the commission must go that way.
And doesn't it make sense to have the old owner assign any right and interest in the old permit over to the new owner?
It should already be done.
Is that what you're saying? That might just be a little bit of housekeeping, but have Dick Watkins sign his interest in the old consent decree over to the new owner.
Well, this consent decree says, or the rights of the successors and assigns.
Oh, okay.
So that's already done. I don't think it's that onerous to go back to the court if both sides are in agreement and request a modification to the order. It should be a very short process, unless counsel for the applicant disagrees with that. I don't really, if the only thing is going to be modified or changed is the language saying essentially that this old compound or the old dam is going to be operating the same fashion as the new based upon the studies that are developed that are part of this permit. That's all that's going to be modified. That should be a fairly easy modification of the old consent order.
That is an easy modification.
And if we just place that as a precondition to our permit, the one we have now, that be done before, then that gives everybody the impetus to go ahead and take care of that and move things along. I mean, that's the only other way. I mean, otherwise we've sort of given it all away and there's nothing that we're holding over them to make sure that gets finished.
Are you ready to make that as a motion now?
I'm not making it. Trying to be helpful. I don't want to be the motion maker.
I can't make a motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, just following on that, I just want to confirm with counsel that we could add a condition to the motion that that the commission and the applicant would enter into a process to amend the existing consent order to modify the original permit to reflect the conditions for the water management plan.
Do your clients have any objection to that? Might make it easy. If they don't, then I think we can't.
Okay.
But if it's on the record that they don't object to it, that sort of licks it right off the candy, if you will.
I'm happy to do it.
Okay, so no issues then.
And, Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion that as a precondition of the permit approval that we that the commission and the applicant enter into a new consent agreement to amend the existing permit to reflect the new water management conditions of the new permit.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Palmer. Any comments on the motion? I think we've had enough, probably. Is there any objection to that motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. Is there anything further on this issue?
Correct.
Yes.
Anything further on item 7? Thank you all for your length of time you spent with us.